Good afternoon, Muskegon. You know what time it is. It's time for Torn Into for this June 24th, 2022. It is 201, 79 degrees outside and sunny. A beautiful day. Man, do we got a lot to talk about. We have a lot to talk about. Just to let you know, people that are listening to the show and are driving and would like to watch it in person, you can always go to our Facebook sites on WUVS 103.7, The Beat, or M106, or you can tell somebody to be involved with their questions or opinions that they can do the same. WUVS 103.7, The Beat, and M106, Rock and Soul. Let me get my partner here, because we got a couple things that we gotta let you know that happened today. Put your hands together for Pastor Melvin C. Burns the second. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm good, brother. How are you?
Good, man. A lot of stuff to report on real quick before we go into today's topic. Okay, yes. First of all, the Supreme Court 6-3 struck down Roe versus Wade, sending it back down to the states.
Yes.
Number two, the House just voted with a narrow margin the gun reform that the Senate did bipartisan yesterday. Mm-hmm. And now the reforms will go to President Biden, and he will definitely sign it into law. The Democrats said it was not enough. Republicans said that it is a crappy law, but it went through. I will say this. They finally did something.
They did something. Now
yeah.
It's time for vacation.
Yeah, they did summer something.
Break. Summer break.
So we'll cut them a break today. Today we want to talk about Pastor Burns and I are going to tackle what we believe. Now, what we believe with school shootings and how we can solve this problem, okay? Yeah. This, needless to say, I mean, with the studying all night and writing today's script, this is an issue that is not an easy one to deal with. But if you take a grab, matter of fact, do us a favor. If you're watching this on Facebook, share this message right now. Number one. Number two, get a pen and some paper, because we're going to tell you how to do this. Now, here's the unfortunate thing. The unfortunate thing is that we only have 56 minutes left. But number two, I got to tell you what's going to start happening with the show. Of course, you know, it's election time. It's coming up. The primary is coming up in August. We have one next week. We will be interviewing a guy with an interesting book. After that, is introducing candidates to you so you get to know them. Because personally, Pastor Burns, I don't know none of them, half of them.
Quite a few new names out there.
Quite a few new names. And like I said, don't expect me to vote for you if I don't know you and haven't talked to you. Let the church say amen. Amen. All right. All right. So let's jump into this. We want to, you know, these school shootings are horrific. They're terrible. Yeah. But there are some things that you can do. There's some things that we all can do. Yes. And this is in no particular order, but kind of in order. Okay. So number one, it starts with parents, and it starts before you birth that child.
Yeah.
Because what we're finding is that a lot of people that have children are not ready to have children.
True.
And they're dealing with issues, mental issues that they had to deal with their child.
Yeah.
And then they're bringing that into raising a child. And without getting the mental health, which we'll be talking about further.
Yes.
So it starts before then. Your comments.
You know, brother, couple of thoughts. First of all, raising your child doesn't stop when you're 18. Hopefully, you still have some influence in your child's life because you're 18, you can get weapons, but you can't deny your child's mental health state.
Mm-hmm.
My child turned 18 to one. Think about getting the gun. As a responsible parent, I'm gonna ask some questions. Why do you think you need a gun? I want to have some doubt because I recognize how serious it is to be a gun owner. I recognize how serious, well, you know, with any major events, I'm looking to see, are you okay? Why are you making these decisions? That's when you're young, when you're a teenager, 18, 21, 30. I'm asking questions. I want to get your state. Okay, you want to get a gun. Why you want to get a gun? What are you thinking about here? You know, if I hear some things that sound off, I'm trying to intervene. I'm taking some steps.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, considering when you're a child, you had to deal with your mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
You had to deal with being a single, growing up in a single parent home. You had to deal with the divorce rate, drug abuse, mm-hmm. mental health. Don't even mention the racist stuff passed to one generation to yeah. another. Come on, somebody, that parents pass to parents or parents to kids.
Yes.
And so one of the things that we feel that is at parent, it's your responsibility day one, before day one, is get yourself together before you have a kid. But then when you have a kid, get ready to nurture that kid, because that kid is not born racist.
Right.
The kid is not born, I want to shoot something. That kid gets that information somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. So
you do a poor job, then unleash that child on the rest of the world. You
know, yeah.
Do us a favor.
Yeah. Do us a favor. Please do us a favor.
Yes.
Okay. And you were bullied as a child. And I'm going to talk about, we're going to get to that too. Number two, people, it's a different world out there. It's a different world out there. What your child has to have to deal with is a lot different. Let me give you an example. And maybe you can relate to this, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
When you got bullied, you at least got some relief when you got home. You know, if you got bullied at school or on the playground mm-hmm. or whatever, you got some relief when you got home. Unless you were with me and my dad or my mom was like, "Now you're going to go deal with the situation. So get your butt back up to school and deal with the bully." Now, with Facebook and all this Instagram and all that kind of stuff, the bullying don't stop.
No, it does.
So the kid continues to deal with the bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a parent, if you are not monitoring what is happening with your kid, let me say this too. Not to say that everything that we suggest that it's just going to totally stop shooting.
Yes.
But maybe if we do it, maybe we'll stop one or two. So you need to monitor what's happening in this culture with music and TV and bullying, politics in this world, the internet, sex, and suicidal thoughts. Your child is going through a lot more than we did.
Yeah.
Mr. Burns.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a different world. You know, yeah, you got bullied, a kid said something to you at school, pick on you in school, you went home. It is a different world. And if you don't recognize that, your same rules and principles may not apply. You're going to have to adjust for this world we're in where, you know, there are fake pictures and fake stories. You know, kids are making fake movies. There's so much more they can do to intimidate a child, to make somebody feel worthless. And so as a parent, you got to bring yourself up current to the technology, the things people are doing. The principle of being a parent hadn't changed, but you got to be current of the way people are doing things. It ain't like the old days. We'll go back to school and fight them. It's not that simple.
Yeah. You know, and so, like you said, the bullying thing. And the thing is that the politics that you might be talking to your wife or your spouse or whatever, those kids are hearing what you're talking about.
Yes.
And so, I mean, and they're taking that stuff and such and such is no good and all this kind of stuff, and they all need to die. Mm-hmm. They're hearing that stuff. They're absorbing that stuff.
Yes.
And so, you, and again, another thing that I wanted to bring up, since we're talking about it's a different world out there, don't say that my child would never do that. That's the biggest mistake you make.
Every teacher and principal, anybody working with kids will laugh if somebody makes that statement, because they're like, you don't know half the things your child would do. Yeah.
Yeah, because we've seen just over the last couple months, several prominent college kids, soccer goalies and just all kind of stuff, just all of a sudden just decide to kill themselves. Yeah. It's a different world out there, because part of the agenda, what has happened is, in society, we have made gun shootings and suicide an option.
Mm.
It has become where it's an option to your mental stability.
That's good. It, you know, it's one of your, you say, it's one of the choices you can make. Well, I might do this, might do that. I know I'll shut up to school. Shouldn't be. Yeah.
No, it's not an option. And, you know, there's, I'm going to tell you, you know, some of the music that people listen to and some of the movies that they listen to is sensitized. And we're going to talk about that, the heart. So some kids get left behind mentally and are not ready for the world because of what are they seeing and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have to realize is that every kid is, we need to get and talk to every child. And some kids are getting left behind. Number three, school safety. Our schools have to be safe. And it's got to be more than teaching kids shooting drills. Because what you're doing is remember the old tornado drills where they will tell you, get under the desk and hold your head and pretend like the tornado ain't coming. And but now they're doing shooting drills.
Yes. Yeah.
So one kid is sitting in that room and saying, oh, okay, I got it. Now lock the door. I got it. And so the thing is that our schools have to be safe. And you cannot sit up there and say, well, because of the demographics, because of the tax breaks, because of whatever schools are. Every school needs to be safe. And I don't care what Ted Cruz says on this, Senator Ted Cruz on this. I don't think the answer to this is teachers carrying guns. I'm a Second Amendment man, but I don't think teachers carrying a gun and having the word to educate our kids and answer.
Yeah, I just think that's probably the worst response. You know, we keep doing this thing where every time something happens, let's put it on the teachers. You know, that's how the teachers seek sex education. That's how the teachers pray. That's how the teachers carry guns. That's how the teachers teach about financial management. You know, let's let them teach. Let's create the environment where they can just teach.
And how about let us go back to what we used to do when dad would go, okay, I'm going to take you, honey. We're going to talk to you about handling this object. This object is a very dangerous object. It has to be used correctly and all that kind of stuff. They walk you through that process.
Yeah.
So some things need to be taught at home. Okay.
We don't need teachers strapped with guns at school. We don't. No. You know what? They don't let them carry in the House of Representatives.
I think you need to say that again.
They don't let them carry them in the House of Representatives, nor do they let them carry them in the courtroom.
Right. And let me say this to you. Just a second. Let's go to the board. Beverly said that teachers just teach. You know, that's their job. That's what she's saying, and I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Let the teachers teach, okay? And let's make sure that if you want to have people Matter of fact, let me say this. Being a coach for 30 some odd years and being in the school, if you have not been in the school lately, it is a different world. Yeah. If you haven't walked in your school that your child goes to, I guarantee you, you need to walk through it. Because a lot of the teachers feel, and this is another thing, they feel helpless dealing with some kids. Some kids are need to be in different environments. I'm sorry about that. But it just, our schools can't be holding cells.
Yeah.
We can't be just sitting, just holding and just promoting kids that are not equipped to be held to the next grade. That's how we end up in trouble.
Yeah.
There was a kid that I had a chance to meet at one of the schools, and he was acting out, and I asked the principal to let me have 10 minutes to talk to the kid. And I talked to the kid, and I said, what was your problem? What is you going through? His big thing was that he failed the last grade, and he was embarrassed to be in the grade that he was in. Mm-hmm. So the only way that he could get attention every day was to act out.
Yeah.
And so you have a lot of other kids thinking that very thing. You know what? I'm going to act out, but I'm going to take it to a different level. It's not going to be just tease the teacher. I'm going to take some people out.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
All right. All right. And you can comment. Remember, go to WVS page 103.7 The Beat, and you can comment as we talk about that. So we agreed that teachers should not be caring, but you can have somebody there that is equipped to care.
Yes, I think certainly. That is not based on where your school is located, the demographics of your parents, all those things. We've seen shootings in all types of schools, all different levels of influence, education, all of those things. I sort of believe that, and I'm going to say two parts with this. I believe certainly school, I'm going to get every school while we're out this summer ought to be reviewing their school safety plan. I know they do that. Mm-hmm. Parents, while the summer's going on, not when something happens, go to a school board meeting and say, explain our safety plan.
Absolutely.
What happens? Oh, explain it to us. Give me a copy of it. Is it available? In that, not just of shoot-ups, but what's our regular safety? What's going on here? If a shooter announced the day they were coming, we'd have everybody there barricade the doors, but they don't. So how do we regularly make sure guns, knives don't get in here? People don't open doors they're not supposed to open. Alarms working are supposed to work. Nobody likes the idea of going through a metal detector. You know, we need to get past that, like only certain schools.
Well, and if you look at Texas, they had a plan and just went through a drill, but they left the door open in the back.
Yeah.
And so a policy is only is just as good as you make it.
Yeah.
And you have to follow it. So listen, teachers, we appreciate you. Some of you teachers that are tired and frustrated, buck up because we understand that you have a hard job. Yes. But we also understand that it is our responsibility as parents to teach certain things, and that's not the obligation of the teacher.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. We want the teachers and schools to do everything.
Right.
100%. You know, that's on us parents. That's on us, not on the teachers.
And going back to the parents and the teachers, you see kids that are quiet. You see all the problems that people that identify that shooters have. You know, they bully, the way that they think and all that kind of stuff. Why do you wait to report that stuff after the shooting?
Right.
Well, he was a quiet person. He was bullied. He kind of stayed by himself.
That sounds like a profile to me.
You know, let me see. Beth, let's go back to the board. Beverly says, I have one, she said, one that I need to talk to, and he's not mine, but I meant to talk to him. Yeah, and that's good, Beverly. You know, my thing is that it's all about community too, Pastor Burns, is that remember in the good old days, and I've said this on the show before, if it's 1 o'clock on a school day and school don't get out to 2:30, something wrong. And as I walk past Mrs. Newsom's house and Mrs. Chambers' house, I got whooped there, then got whooped at that place, and then I got whooped at all the Mrs. Jenkins' house, and then they called my mom and dad and said, your son is out of school, and I got with him, and then I had to deal with my parents and go back and apologize to them.
Yeah,
we've lost a sense of community where if I have a kid that I know, you know, that you see that this kid has gone from one situation where, say, his parents has gone through a divorce or she's gone through divorce or whatever, or they're going through a bad time, a death in the family, and this person is acting a little sporadic, a little quiet, all this kind of stuff. Don't wait and not talk to that individual. Don't do it. You know, don't wait to talk to that individual. Talk to that individual, and you might be the one that helped that person get to the next one.
It's difficult today's era to want to insert yourself in other people's families, to some of the people, because we know how touchy people are. So parents have to be accepting of somebody saying something to you about your kids and not defensive, because, you know, most people mean well. So there's probably some though, but at least listen, let people think. So, because even if they're wrong that time, they may be right the next time. So be open to hearing a criticism or observation about your child's a parent. Sometimes we don't want to, but we got to take a risk in saying something to somebody. You know, if we're a parent, we're another adult, our kids are the school of the kid. A lot of times our kids will tell us something about another kid. And then, Mom, Dad, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. You know, and I tell my daughter all the time, I was like, I should tell her she was coming up. You can't tell me something to get me to promise not to say nothing. That don't work.
That don't work. No. That don't work.
Then, can I tell you something that's on the Bible? I go, no. That's my response all the time. No. And then I'm going to prod you till you tell me what it is now, because it must be something good.
That's right. And then we're going to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so I think about the years of coaching of that and being in the pastor or doing team ministry, is that when a kid is suicidal, it's like, no, we're going to deal with that issue. That's not a wait and see issue.
Yes.
And so our topic is these school shootings and some of the things that you can do to help. The next thing that you can do is we're going to attack Congress right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you, because you vote Congress in or you don't vote. And guess what happens? You get what you vote for or you get what you don't vote for. And so if you let the status quo continue to happen, nothing's going to happen. Well, this time, that shooting in Texas, and I wanted to say what had in Buffalo, people kind of went, okay, you guys got to do something.
If I was in Congress, or in the legislature, after wondering, and I'm sad they haven't done it, I'd have been like, you know what, to my staff, give me every superintendent in my district, ask them this question. What things would you like to see me do to help make your school safe so this doesn't happen at your school? Your school? Now, I may not be able to do everything on that list, but that would be my marching orders. I'm contacting every superintendent. You know, tell me, send me a letter, send me a response of what can I do? What are the things you need to do in your district to help ensure this doesn't happen? And then as a legislative person, okay, now what can I help?
That's a good idea, because if you don't understand about the school shooting, you know we've had threats in Muskegon, right?
Yes.
We've had several schools closed down because of threats. Actually, some arrests even made in Muskegon.
Yeah.
So if we have been blessed that nothing has happened, but we want to continue to happen. Congress, today, with what happened in the Senate yesterday with the vote of the Senate, which was bipartisan, what happened in the House of today, which was almost bipartisan, we had a few cross over the aisle, but at least something is going to the president's desk.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the sweeping reviews or the sweeping things that either side wanted? No.
No.
But it was something.
It was something. You know, the thing in politics is usually you don't get 100% of what you want. That's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with both sides had negotiated a bill that got some things they wanted and some things they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be okay with that. That used to be what created good policy. That's okay. Not, well, we don't hear anything we want, so we're not participating.
Well, the House chair on the GOP side urged nobody to vote, told everybody to vote no. I mean, why?
Yeah. Then again, it's that childish response. Look, you're on the committees. What did you propose?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Instead of sitting up, because what we have going on right now, if you don't know, is one side is proposing legislation. One side is just picking it apart, but they're not producing any legislation. This time, it was bipartisan.
Mm-hmm.
They both came together and made a bill happen. And soon as Biden gets that to his desk, I'm sure he's going to sign that, and we will tell you more about that as well.
Yes.
And I want to talk a little bit about the gun laws, but you talk about gun laws, but you also say it's not a gun problem, it's a mental health problem, but yet you take money away from mental health. That this bill addressed a little bit of that situation where they are putting money into mental health. Let's face it, and I'm going to tell you right now, people of this great U.S. of A, we have a mental health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We have a mental health crisis. And if we don't start putting dollars in certain places, we're going to continue to have problems. And if we don't realize that we have, this country has a drug problem, and it's just not in certain areas, mm-hmm. it's all throughout the United States. If we don't start having rehab places to get clean and all this kind of stuff, we've got to bounce back with this country. Go ahead, First Amendment.
No, I agree with you, brother. It's like, either we see them as other people's problems, or we don't want to recognize the real problems, the real issues that are out there facing us.
All right. You listening and watching 22, it's the bottom of the hour, 2:30. We're talking about our ideas of what we would like to see with school safety as far as shooting. Oh, man. Number six, police training.
Mm.
Well, okay. Go ahead. I'll let you go.
We saw a failure in Texas. We just saw a failure. I mean, I'm sure everyone of those officers regrets. Certainly it was an error. I don't think it was malice. I don't think it was anything else other than they made a mistake. They misassessed the situation. You know, when you sit back, like people are upset, well, if I just went in and got my kid. Well, listen, there's a reason why you can't do that as a parent. I don't care how you feel. There's a reason why you can't do that. But did they miss in Texas? The sooner you recognize that you missed, you'll make sure it doesn't happen with your department. You can share that experience with other police departments. You know, they thought, no, what they did in Texas was what everybody thought, think you do. You stop, assess the situation. They made some wrong assumptions. Let that be a learning point for them, for other police departments when these situations occur.
Yeah. And
so, yeah, you got to train, it's that simple. You know, there's no, what you thought before worked. Now you realize there's got to be a different approach.
Yeah, if you don't, if they don't take that whole situation and evaluate it in every police force, you don't wait an hour to go in with an active shooter, especially when you can hear shots fired.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, when you got parents out there concerned about their kids, okay, yeah, that's what they, but don't be tasing the parents, which they did, which.
And I know why they did that. I mean, it wouldn't have made things better for parents to go in the building. It just would not have.
Yeah, but sitting there with a vest and a gun and you hearing gunshots, you would have hit me over the head with a bat.
You got to reassess things and how you handle that. So that another city doesn't make the same mistake. Another police department doesn't make the same mistake. And that you don't make that same mistake again. Was there another way to handle this other than tasing parents? You know what I'm saying?
Right. And the police right, and that police department, the way that the chief handled it, the way that they handled the press conferences and all that kind of stuff was a travesty. Mm-hmm. And so, words to police officers and police departments when it comes down to this thing. Number one, make sure that you have all the facts, the timelines, the phone calls, the 911, everything in place. I know people want news. They want it fast, but make sure that everything you have is accurate and in place and in order, because then what happens is you had the governor did a press conference, then they had another press conference, they had to back that. So they had to keep backing up because they kept messing up. Finally, somebody came in and said, mistakes were made. These are mistakes. This is what happened. And so every police department should be reviewing this and say, this is one thing that we cannot let happen in our community. And this is the one thing, how do we make it better? So if we do have a shooter, how do we make it better?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, so police training as well as the teaching training as well. I mean, the teaching training, like some of the teachers, rest in peace, lost their lives trying to protect their kids. But some of those teachers took those doors and locked those doors and covered those doors and made sure those classes were not affected, but two classrooms were.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine, Pastor Burns, and the story that just breaks my heart in that story in Texas is that child that survived by putting the blood on her friend that died by her on her and pretended to be dead.
I cannot imagine.
It blows my mind, and this is the kind of stuff that we need to also be able to. We'll get there. We'll talk about this. Is support when this stuff do happen? Have stuff to support these kids down the future.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So we got number seven, and we're going to take some time to address this one, because this is the big one. We have to stop glamorizing these school shootings and all these shootings. You know what happened to stop the reporting in Buffalo? Another shooting.
Yeah.
That's what happened. They were in Buffalo, reporting on Buffalo, knocking at people's doors. And listen, nobody needs... When we're going through some of the, imagine the people in Buffalo, that grandmother was just going there to shop.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with some of the hardest things in time in your life, and you got to, you got the press and everybody knocking at your door. Well, how do you feel right now? And yeah. And we want that meat. We want that fresh meat. And we're glamorizing because we want to see and hear these emotions and all this kind of stuff. And what's happening on the news is that they keep making this just making this bigger and bigger. Go ahead.
And we have to not eat it up. You know, again, that we have to decide what we consume. You know, I don't, you know, do I need to see a mother interview with her son whose child just got killed in a school shooting? Maybe I don't need to see that. Maybe a couple of months from now to have some perspective, but I don't need to see that news story.
You know, maybe I take it, you know, take it the first day and you know, maybe sit the kids down and say, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, want you to know and really sit down and make sure they understand. And then that's it.
Yeah.
But to be 30 days in Buffalo and then right now in Texas, and at a time, did you notice when there things were in Buffalo and Texas that all of a sudden you didn't hear too much about Russia and Ukraine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got to watch the meat that we eat, people. I mean, how many crime shows do we need on TV about murder? And we'll get to that point. Mm-hmm. So, listen, ratings, the shootings get ratings because you're watching it. You're feeding on it.
Yeah, I'll tell people something that's hard to swallow sometimes is just because people want to interview you doesn't mean you need to be interviewed.
Say it again.
Maybe we do this for a living and we've done it for years, but just because people would want to interview you doesn't mean you need to speak with them. You aren't obligated to accept any interview you don't feel like you want to do.
There you go. So we all the stations and all the reporters and everybody there. I understand that where you had to report news, but then again, we're taking it too far where again, now you got to interview the aunt or the three-time removed uncle of the child because you're looking for somebody to interview.
Anybody, yeah.
Just anybody. So listen, stop glamorizing it. Make it real. Tell us the news. Tell us what's happening. And don't give some other kid, a person out there saying, he shot 19. He got 21. I can go for it. No, because it's not. And you know what? This is, let me clarify. This is not only kids that we're talking about, because there are other people that do school shootings.
Yes.
Which talks about our mental health state that we were talking about before. So is somebody just going, well, he shot that many, I'll shoot more.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you think there isn't some mimicking going on, you're mistaken. Some of the manifesto has left people have referenced other shooters. So, is it widespread at this point? No, but do they reference each other? Do they look at what somebody else has done and I'm going to do better than them? And yeah, that's been happening. They've been fibering in the manifestos that they finally have left.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, if somebody on Facebook messaged you, I'm about to shoot my grandmother, call the police.
Yeah.
I mean, and then when they message you back, there, I did it, and you ain't called the police by then, and then some kids are going to be in trouble, somebody message you. Listen, people, a lot of this stuff, we can, if somebody gets on Facebook and's beefing with somebody, talk about it's going to be a 187 on this person because I'm about to murk them, then do something about it.
Yeah.
Because the police are sitting up and watching Facebook, but they can't do everything. I happen to be in a group of scanners, people that listen to scan and stuff like that, but a group of part of the neighborhood that if we don't see something that look right, we call in the police.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So let's keep on going here. Stop glamorizing. Number 8. How many murders and crime shows do we really need to see?
So you mean like 48 Hours type shows, or you mean just
Al Capone? We're still watching shows, Al Capone and Gangsters and Murders and Fear Thy Neighbor, and there's a new show that comes up. And what that does, I want you to talk about this, Pastor Berg. It gets into one of our points. It resensitizes our hearts. Yeah. It hardens our heart. I'm sorry.
If we're honest, you know, go back a few years, the first time you heard a school shooting, you sat there, you watched all the news, you were shocked, you were appalled. It's been a few years, we had several. You probably can't remember the last, then we have a list of 30 of them or something. You probably, maybe you didn't watch all the stuff. Your heart, your sensitivity toward it has changed because it's happened so many times. Now, for each set of parents, it's new to them. But just as a spectator, you know, over time, it's like, oh, I had another school shooting. You didn't delve into it like you did probably early on. It's the same with these shows. You know, people are saying, oh, TV didn't do this, TV didn't do that. It may not change you wholesale, but it does change your sensitivities and your sensibilities. It just does. What we watch, you know, you see the examples before how we know, we don't realize we know all these theme songs and these models from these shows. Those things get into us as human beings. Mm-hmm. So the same way, you watch killings, you hear stories over and over. After a while, it's like, well, it's not that big a deal. I've heard it before. It's not that fantastic of a story. I'm not as in awe that was because I've kind of heard this before. Mm-hmm. They ought to still shock our system every single time.
Say that again. Say that again, please.
It should shock us every time there's a shooting. We ought to be upset all over again. We ought to be angry all over again. We ought to be upset all over again. We ought to cry all over again every single time. Now, I just have somebody we know. It shouldn't take a little girl rubbing her classmates' blood on her for us to go, oh my God, this is horrible. See, because all those other high schools, they can tell you how horrible it is. Those parents can tell you how horrible it is. They can say, it's the worst thing in the world. You never want to get that call. So we ought to treat it like that every single time. You know, why is the legislature finally doing something? Because they're seeing how outraged people are. We don't know if bills good or bad. They just say, you know what, we got to do something. Because everybody's asking us about it.
You said something very important. It took for an incident to happen for everybody to finally respond to say, this is bad. And they called their representatives and something got done. See that, people? See how that happens? And See, the thing about this kind of this kind of show is not sexy. It's not glamorous. It's not the thing that you on Friday you want to see, but no, we're just trying to tell you some truth. You know, if we would have had taking your guns away, we would have had 50,000 comments right now. But the thing is, we're trying to tell you people how to stop these things that are going on, because these are our kids that are going through that. Number nine, and then we're just gonna wrap up. Again, we talked about the resensitizing our heart, but we didn't talk about the part where all of a sudden life has become so cheap. Where life has become so cheap, where taking somebody's life is nothing. It's meaningless. When did we get to that point when that's acceptable?
You know, we're the nation, guns taking people's lives, unfortunately, they go together. I don't care what you say, handguns and taking people's life go together. And we're a nation that's been very accepting of it. Taking somebody's life ought to be a serious thing every single time. It ought to be a major, major thing.
Well, those are some of the bullet points that we have.
You know what strikes me with that list? There's no one thing that's going to fix anything. There's no way to say, we just do this one thing, that's going to be it.
Nope.
Because it's a multifaceted problem. But in all those areas you've named, something should be moving and taking place to change what's happened. The first school shooting that you heard of should be absolutely unacceptable to you. Whether it was the last one, was the first you heard, or you heard, you know, Columbine or Stone Mountain, whichever one you heard, you ought to say, that's unacceptable.
Right. If you see a kid that's in this room and that's doing nothing but playing murder music and just shooting up people and stuff like that and doing nothing in the dark, that's probably a sign that mm-hmm. he needs to come out of that room. Yeah. Also, to go back to educating and talking to other kids, you know what? We have to get back to a community where, you know, if you're taking mm-hmm. your child to be on a soccer team or baseball or basketball, whatever, what about that kid that you might be helping that may be next door that may not have the means to be on a sports mm-hmm. team yeah. to get them out of the house, that person doesn't feel like an outcast, that you could do something for that person. Mm-hmm. In other words, just don't sit up and just watch that kid do nothing. Every weekend you go on doing soccer and the kid next door is feeling, well, I don't have nobody that care for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not even to mention the mental health state in the food and the lack of food and all that kind of stuff. One of the other things is that this is a call out to every church and every pastor out there. This is a call. If you have an empty building mm-hmm. and that building is only busy on Sundays, then you need to rethink what you should be doing, because we can't only depend on the girls and boys club. We can't. We should be offering something for these kids to do. Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be an answer to a problem. Pastor mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd say it this way. We ought to love other people enough. We ought to love our neighbor enough to not be content where we are. I know I know more than anybody, it takes volunteers. It takes people committing time, all those. It takes resources. It takes money. But this is our responsibility. We ought to be getting and finding some ways, like, what do we make a contribution?
Yeah, what's the alternative?
How do we make a difference?
Mm-hmm. What's the alternative?
Yeah. You know, again, the thoughts and prayer. Okay, what do they motivate you to do?
Hopefully take action.
Something. Nobody takes it causes you to do something.
So in review, parents, listen, we need you to step up your game. And not only step up your game with your children, mm-hmm. which I know we're asking you to do. Just, you know, take your child and grab one. Mm-hmm. And you never know who you're dealing with. And mm-hmm. the thing that I loved about my daughters was they always liked the underdog. So okay. if there was a child that was just struggling and stuff like that, they always came and talked to me about that. And which brings me to point 10 that I didn't mention. So let me clear my throat. But, you know, parents, look, listen here. You are not your friend to your child.
Mm.
You are the parent to your child.
Yes.
So stop trying to be friends with them and trying to dress with them, drink with them, smoke with them, hang in the club and bang, bang with them. You are there to raise them. With that said, don't one of the things as a parent, don't be ashamed to tell kids of your failures and how you got through those failures. Because maybe they're suffering from the same thing that you went through. Yes. And they can know that you went through it and you got through it.
Yes. Yeah, we have to share those experiences. You know, again, we're the first and probably greatest teachers of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and again, it doesn't stop when we send them off to school at 4 or 5. For their lifetime, we're going to be their great teachers. And we have to find a way to communicate the things. Again, we have to share our own life stories in a productive way. We have to engage more. You know, I'll say it again. If you saw whatever last shooting you saw, you have to ask yourself, what have I done to prevent this from happening in my child's school? What have I done? Am I supposed to do in case it happens? And what do I do to help prevent it from happening?
Right.
Those just ought to be questions you ought to be asking and working on.
Eight minutes to the end of the show. We're talking about school shooting prevention. We talked about parents, your role. Make sure that you are in your child's life. Number two, we talked about that it is a different world out there, what your child is dealing with as far as TV, music, bullying, school politics of the world, the internet, sex, suicide, the identification of who they are. They're dealing with more things than you ever had to deal with. We talked about how bullying doesn't stop in the old days when we got home to a quote safe spot, that bullying continues on Facebook and people are ruthless. They are ruthless. We talked about school safety. We talked about the teachers do not, in our opinion, now I know some people are going to disagree with me. If the shooters knew that the teachers all carried guns, then that would stop them from going into that school. Just rethink what you just said, please. Just rethink what you
said. How about we just say, no, we aren't sure that would happen.
Let the teachers teach. Yeah. And let the teachers be able let the teachers be able to tell people that they think that there's a mental health issue or mental health crisis to higher authorities and something be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
We talked about, but I also talked about this too. Go in your school district because you would be shocked. You can go through your school. You can arrange appointments to see that. Some of the things that you hear these kids saying today, oh my goodness, you would be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
So go check it out and see how you can get involved. We talked about Congress. Finally, finally doing something. The law was not a wide reaching law, but it's going to go to Biden's desk. This is the first time, I believe, in 30 years that some gun legislation has come through.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we didn't talk about, the NRA, why is it that they are the largest lobby in Washington and have their money is in more politicians' pockets, but I won't go there. That's another show, and I digress. We talked about police training that what happened in Texas should be in every police station right now about what happened, where did we go wrong, and how did we fix it?
Yeah.
I told you what, I gave people permission to hit me over the head with a baseball bat. If that happens at my granddaughter's school, hit me over the head with a bat.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We talked about the glamours, we're glamorizing the news when it comes down to the bad news. It's got to be bad news.
Yes.
And anything positive or preventive is not sexy, and people don't necessarily want to hear. That's why we ain't got that many people talking right now. And I don't care that we don't have a lot of questions out there. What I want to do is provoke thought.
Yes.
We want to provoke thought that, like, you to resensitize somebody's heart, that every time there's a shooting, every time you see that, it's just like, oh, well, that's just another shit. No, that should make you angry and mad to step up to do something.
Yes.
We talked about, the murder shows and crimes and stuff like that that darken our heart, and we just get, oh, well. Mm-hmm. I saw just today another shooting in Muskegon County.
Really?
And every time I see that, it crushes me.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why we're on this, and we do this every Friday, is to inform you, to educate you, that maybe you don't need these murder crime shows, that you need to be sensitive to when somebody gets shot, and that human life is not cheap. Any last words on that?
No, brother, you nailed it. You know, again, and we mentioned this earlier, again, you may think it has no effect. Every study, every observation tells us otherwise. You can be desensitized, and a lot of things are desensitizing us. So you may not think it. You may go, oh, no, that may never happen. But those things create hesitation. And 2, 3, 5 minute, one day hesitation, what difference does it make?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. But our heart just has to be open. Like, you can't be in denial that we don't have a problem. You can't be in denial that we don't have a problem with school shootings. We've had more, double than any other country, easily. That's a problem.
Oh, when we have 5 times the guns. I mean, we have enough guns for 5 guns for every man, woman, and child. One of the things, and I only got 2 minutes to mention that, if you notice your child is depressed and he's 15 years old, and the thing that you do as a parent is you go buy him a gun, just kind of rethink. What the heck were you thinking?
Right.
So anyway, so that's our show for today. Pastor Melvin Burns, I appreciate you, man. We're just trying to do this one show.
Hey, good discussion, brother. You know, again, like you said, provoke some thought, provoke some discussion. We're taking a little break for the summer, but schools will be picking back up soon. And God, wouldn't we all be okay if there was not another school? It should be inevitable. Oh, there'll be another one.
Yeah.
That's okay. Inevitable.
Yeah. We, for the next coming show, we have a guy coming up next week, new book, exciting book. Then we go into our political season we're going to interview every person that we can that is running for office, so you will know about those individuals. Okay, it's 3:00. That's 22 for this day, 6/24/2022. As we always say, go sow a seed in somebody's life. You don't know who you can be changing. Take care and God bless.